it's safe to say that there has never been a summer like this in our lifetime. Even though kids are out of class, I think everyone's minds have been on back to school much earlier this year. Yesterday, the English School District announced what back to school is going to look like in Newfoundland and Labrador, and we're going to hear from the school district in the next half hour of our program. To find out what the teachers' union thinks of that plan, though, we're joined right now by Dean Ingram. He is president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. Good morning to you, Dean.
And good morning to you.
So first of all, some general comments from you. What did you think overall when you heard this plan and read it over yesterday?
Well, right now we're still in the process of deciphering all the details of it, that we may be responding further in the coming days ahead. But the one thing I want to say from the outset is that the association is certainly in line with this statement. Students need to return to school. It's important on so many different levels for their routines, for their mental health. Teachers need to return, parents need to return. But we certainly feel that that return needs to be done in a manner that's safe. Full credit to our healthcare authorities who've done a great job in getting us to the point we're in now where COVID is certainly, the curve is crushed, the curve is flattened. But we've also seen across the globe situations where they had resurgence. The jurisdiction was held up as being the absolute shining star of examples in terms of how to manage COVID. New Zealand, very recently, they've had outbreaks. We need the system to be resilient and take precautions to ensure that any outbreak that may or may not, ideally may not occur, is as contained as possible. This is the concern we have. And for us, one thing that is glaring in the plan, but I do want to stress, whatever plans the districts, CSFP, NLESD put in place were really limited by what regulations come from government, by what resources are provided by government. And that's the concern. We see these glaring inconsistencies, and it really is puzzling to me and many others. I've had 40,000 emails have filtered through our association since March from parents, teachers concerned about what the return to school will look like. And since yesterday, those emails, messages from parents directly to me, as well as teachers, of course, have really increased.
Now, you mentioned yesterday in the news conference that children are safer in the local Walmart than they are in their English classroom. What do you mean by that?
When you look at the regulations that are in place, when you look at the conditions that are in place surrounding physical distancing measures, mandatory mask wearing, the measures are more stringent in a Walmart than they are in our schools.
And what concerns does that raise for you, and what do you think should be done instead?
Well, I think there needs to be consistency for starters. I think right now we've heard the mantra since the start of people, space, time, and place. And I really am challenged to understand why these measures that are necessary in our business community, in our other public venues and government buildings, aren't applicable in schools. What should be done in place is that I think there needs to be an mask wearing is certainly something that should be enhanced. I think enhanced access to testing should be there. Certainly, we've heard consistently that physical distancing is critically important, but yet, in terms of our schools, it's really de-emphasized. I know the topic of cohorts comes up, but again, if you even analyze the concept of cohorts, that's going to be problematic in our schools, our non-instructional periods first and foremost. How do you have it in our high schools where students actually engage in subject area teaching? Their subjects. They move from class to class. How do we insert that on the buses, the busing arrangements? These are things. We need to look at measures that actually implement effective healthcare measures. And for me, if it's critically important that our bingo halls, our yoga studios, our place of worship, our daycare centers have these regulation restrictions to ensure safety, I'm really struggling as to why those same measures aren't necessary or needed in our school system.
So does the NLTA believe that masks should be mandatory in the classroom as well as in those communal areas and on school buses?
I think there are merits to that, yes, absolutely. We need to look at that. Again, it comes down to the advice, the direction we've given from the healthcare authorities. If physical distancing is not possible, you need to ensure masking. And right now, this is, again, for me, I'd ask the healthcare authorities, is this something needs to be explained? I'm yet to hear an adequate explanation as to why there's this discrepancy between the standard set and, as I phrased yesterday, a Walmart and the ones that are placed in our schools.
Physical distancing is, of course, encouraged, and masks are mandatory on buses and in communal areas, but kids are pretty unpredictable. I'm just wondering, are you hearing from teachers about their concerns about enforcing whatever rules are in place?
Without question there are. Without question there is. And these are things there. I mean, what I read yesterday is that masks are required unless children are adverse to it. The way I interpret that, and I certainly, if my interpretation is incorrect, is that unless if a child chooses not to wear it, don't wear it. That's not a requirement. That's a suggestion. And my experience is that if you look at in their school system, in many schools, the function of how strongly masks are adhered to will be a function of what the most popular children in that school decide to do, and the rest of the children will follow suit.
So the wording is, however, no student is required to wear a non-medical mask if they cannot tolerate it. How do you interpret that?
Well, again, what's the standard for toleration? Is this, it bothers me, therefore I won't? Is it requirement of medical documentation? Will the department support the district, in turn supporting the school, if students are saying you wear this or disciplinary measures put in place? These are the unknown questions. And right now, at this juncture, again, right now we're still deciphering through the full report, still trying to get a handle on some of the finer details. But at the end of the day, for me, I really struggle. And based on the feedback I've gotten from teachers, from parents, with this challenge, is why is it there are different standards of requirements in other government buildings versus our schools?
What about what happens if there is a case of COVID-19? How satisfied are you with the information that's forthcoming from the school district with regard to what happens then?
Well, there's still a tremendous number of unknown questions there. I mean, if you look at the concept of isolation, if a student does show up in the morning and they start exhibiting symptoms, you go to the isolation room. But how can that work in a larger school? How could that work in a Eastside Elementary? How could that actually work? They don't have unlimited isolation rooms. So that child goes into isolation, then there's cross-contamination. There's the 14-day isolation period. How does that work? Which is why one thing, a measure that would certainly be advisable, would be to provide access, to enhanced access, to testing, to get the results, to get that process, so that way, instead of being a 14-day isolation for the student and for the teacher who may be involved as well, this can actually have things return much quicker. Are we prepared for a second wave that comes? Well, I have questions about whether we are, and I'm looking forward to getting answers to some of the questions that we still have, that many people in the province still have.
Okay, I want to come back to this issue of whether or not, or what happens if there is a case of COVID-19 in the school system. Tony Stack said yesterday, and I just jotted down part of his response, he says, we will have to address that situation as it presents itself. What do you think of that answer?
Well, right, it will be had to address, but then the question, what are the protocols and procedures put in place? That speaks to the unknown questions there, and these are things that need to be clarified, certainly need to be clarified prior to the resumption of the school year.
What about in terms of catching up, I guess, on whatever curriculum was missed last spring, 3.5 months of school that didn't take place? What are you hearing from teachers about what's going to be required of them in terms of getting kids to where they need to be in terms of their learning?
Well, teachers are professionals. I have all confidence in the world that they will have to sit down and basically examine the information from the year before. Teachers are very good at keeping records in terms of what they're. So what will happen certainly for the first number of days, if not longer, teachers will assess where the students are in light of where they need to be and deliver curriculum accordingly. We'll need some streamlining, we'll need some cross-curricular address of some objectives to basically move things more efficiently. But teachers will have to assess where the students are, where they need to be, and take Nestor. And again, our teachers are professionals, and they are certainly capable of doing that. But these are things, they need the supports. These are the things that need to happen. It's one of the reasons why we've been advocating long before COVID for an independent review of the teacher allocation model. This is necessary before COVID, and had that independent assessment done to actually address additional resources in the classroom, our ability to respond to COVID would have been enhanced in our school system.
What about this issue? I know you've talked in the past, long before COVID-19, about smaller class sizes, and many parents, I think, seem to expect that there would be something done in that regard as a way to enhance or to promote the idea of physical distancing, whether that be staggered class times or staggered days of attendance for various students. What were you hoping to see in here in terms of smaller class sizes?
Well, measures to implement smaller class sizes would have been helpful. It would have been in line with the recommendations from healthcare. And it's certainly something, as you mentioned, we've been advocating for a number of years, and certainly during my entire presidency and before. It's why one of the themes we used on trying to actually advocate for a review, an independent review of the teacher allocation model. We didn't see anything to address class sizes whatsoever. We see these things here in place, and I think that would have been a measure that certainly would have made our education system more robust and more rigid and better able to accommodate should we have a resurgence. And again, going back to across the globe, the shining star of COVID response globally was New Zealand. And now we see that they've had resurgences, and some of those resurgences are looking actually occurring in their schools. We don't want that here. We don't need that here. And we need to ensure we're as prepared as possible to account for what all healthcare authorities from the federal level to provincial level are indicating as a very likely second wave at some point.
What would you like the school district to do to address the outstanding issues that you and the teachers in this province have with regard to teacher and student safety?
I think one thing we need government to do, because again, a lot of this I have to stress, is that whatever the districts are able to implement is a function of whatever regulations or whatever resources and supports are put in place for the district. That's where a lot of us are. So what I would like to see government do is provide the district resources, provide the sanitation staffing, provide the resource to ensure that adequate sanitation procedures are put in place. I think we need certainly to start with that. I think there needs to be provision of adequate PPE for those that are exposed to it, student and teacher. There are certain situations where aerosol spread is there. That needs to be ensured that those things are available. We need to look to class sizes. What resources? And the other thing is that I think this is something that's going to be critically important regardless of how this plays out. Schools will be tasked with monumental things in front of them to ensure that the COVID response is what it needs to be. The large part of that work will fall on our school administrators. School administrators were taxed in terms of dealing with what they had before COVID. And we've been advocating for a revisitation. In fact, we certainly strongly suggest that a reinstatement of the administrator allocations back to what they were in 2009 would be a step in the right direction. School administrators will have to implement the screening procedures, the protocols, school design plans, and countless other tasks. That's critically important. We also know that the anxiety levels felt by parents is certainly magnified and amplified amongst our student population. There was a need for enhanced access to school counselors before COVID. We've long spoken about the ratio of 1 to 500 that's currently provided to our school system as being inadequate. It's more inadequate with the dynamics our schools are facing this coming fall. So an enhanced school allocation of school counselors so that students can receive the supports they will need in a post-COVID, during COVID reality is certainly something. So those are certainly a couple of things that certainly need to be looked to.
Dean Ingram, should the start of the school year, be delayed while these issues are looked at and addressed?
It's not something we would advocate right now for a delay to start the school year. I think it's important, as I mentioned already, is that it's critically important, and we certainly agree that a return to school for students is needed, it's necessary. But we strongly feel that that return, which is absolutely necessary, must have adequate safety measures for our students, for our teachers, for our parents, for everything that went in. So right now, our point is that we think that the school year needs to be open in such manner, provided that it maintains health and safety measures. And I don't think it's a monumental leap of faith to suggest that the standards of safety in our school system should not be different than that from other public venues, from private businesses. If these are safety measures that are critically important for the business community, for our bingo halls, for our place of worship, for our daycare centers, and so on, these same standards need to be in place for our province's schools.
Dean Ingram, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Oh, kindly welcome. My pleasure.
That is Dean Ingram. He is president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. Coming up in the next half hour, we will hear from the Newfoundland and Labrador English School District. CEO Tony Stack will explain some of the details of yesterday's plan that was released. And you can weigh in as well. You can give us a call and let us know what you think. 1-800-777-0990 is the number for our talkback line. Leave your comment there. Maybe you have a question that is outstanding for you, something you're just wondering about, a concern that is raised, but you really don't have the answer for. You can do that. Leave your name and number when you call our talkback line. We won't play your number on the air, but we do need your name.